This is Scott Pilgrim vs. the Minute 99. Welcome to the Scott Pilgrim vs. the Minute podcast, the show where we review and analyze the movie Scott Pilgrim vs. the World 1 minute at a time. You guys sound way better without me. Dave Castile?
Yes.
So alone. Sam Brown.
I feel like this is just mean-spirited at some point. You just want to find out what I'm going to say. When presented with that.
When I wrote that one down, I thought to myself, I think I've actually introduced you that same way before. He has had a so alone moment before in the
And film. I was supposed to say, you're not alone. Or I'm not alone.
No, you All are right. not alone. We pick up with hey, Brian. Scott finishing the line. I'm Brian. Anyway, Scott's finishing the line. I feel like I've learned something. And then Scott's like, which would be great if I wasn't dead. And I like how he whines that word and then just drops to his knees. So alone. And then we hear Ramona saying, you're not alone. And that's when we see the extra life that Scott had picked up during the Katayanagi fight. Is that their names? I typed that without going back.
Katayanagi. Good enough. I don't want to go look it up.
Yeah. And Scott then had that determined look. He's like, right. And then we get this montage going all the way back to the scenes of that fight with the Katayanagis and him walking through the crowd. And we get
everything that happens after that up to this
point. Everything since tying, he picked up the one up, yeah.
Even a quick show of him tying the shoes. And
it's quick this time.
Yep, getting up to the chaos. There's lots of times two bonuses he's getting here because he's...
X2,
yep. Yeah. X2, sorry.
I didn't count the X's, but they were...
yep. Several of those bonuses he's getting as he's getting ready to try this level one more time. And we get that Chaos Theater level 7. And Scott approaches that first bouncer at the door.
I realized I was looking at the x-ray and it's like they're referred to as the door hipster and then the elevator hipsters. I'm nice. Like, yeah, because we all hate hipsters. That's exactly what they are.
He is a door hipster, absolutely. And he's like, your hair looks stupid. And the guy has this like shock looks on his face as he explodes into a pile of coins.
700 coins.
Yep. And then Scott is asked for the password, second password by the guys at the elevator, and he responds with punches, turning them each into coins.
700 coins.
700 coins.
It's 350 each, right?
I think it was 700 each.
Oh, okay.
Was it? Okay. And then Scott goes down that elevator again, and as he gets off the elevator, we have a Komu again. But saying something different this time than he did the last time.
This is hysterical.
And he says, it's just the comic book is better than the movie.
Oh, that's freaking perfect. I mean,
thank you.
That's like having a little fun with yourself.
Yes. And thank you for that character.
Yeah.
Because that's all he's been good for was those types of lines. And every single one was great.
Well, it's also, it is... in character and out of character at the same time, because the other ones you said was just so like, what?
Right.
Where this one actually, you know, the book is always better than the movie. Yeah. It's always, I mean, it's right in line and everything. So it's the same type of thing that he says, but this one's, you know, dead on accurate.
And with the writer director, it's a self-awareness as right, well yeah. of the film, being what it is. And, you know, just kind of giving one more nod towards the source material.
But it's also poking fun at that idea that, you know, the book's always better than the movie, which is not always true.
Correct. Correct. So then Scott goes straight to the stage to see the band. Oh,
he shoves through the two guys that were just like standing on the stairs and he gets 350 points for each of those.
Oh, that was probably where I saw the 350.
It wasn't coins this time. It was points.
He just got points. Yeah, lots of points start
lots of points happening
accumulating here. Whereas Scott gets to the stage and Steven's like, Scott, let it go. And he's like, don't worry, I know what I'm doing. And we get like an 8-bit beep with some points. And then Steven, the new lineup rocks. You guys sound way better without me. And Steven pumps his fists.
Yeah.
And we get another little 8-bit, you know, beep. And then to young Neil, you've learned well. From this point forward, you'll be known as Neil. And Neil's like, oh.
It's like a look of relief almost.
Yeah.
Like he's graduated.
Finally. Yeah.
And he gets some beeps there as well and points. And then Scott says, and Kim,
right, and right at that moment where he says Kim, you get like this bass note, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's like, I'm sorry about everything. I'm sorry about me. And we get more beeps and points earned.
350 points that time. Yeah. I didn't see the points in the other cases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was kind of like off screen, like you were zoomed
you
in.
Could tell you could tell they were happening, which you couldn't see clearly, yeah.
And that's where I have the minute ending. Nice clean cut there, but I love his interaction with the band here. It was just the...
He came in and he said all the right things at the right time to really... I don't know what the word... I don't want to say repair because he hadn't really done any damage, but to kind of boost them up the last little bit that he needed.
Yeah, and it's almost like a My Name is Earl episode in like half a minute. He's like going through and like apologizing to everybody, you know, of that he's ever wronged, because he's going to make all this right.
And it's the making amends.
Yeah. And we've talked about all these moments where he just says the wrong thing and now everything's coming out right. You know, he's got this sense of clarity as to how he needs to handle it.
He's finally growing.
Right.
Scott's a real boy. Like it's good. And it's good as a character development mechanic to like see him realize that the people around him have grown and to recognize their improvements and the ways that he wronged them.
Well, yeah, it's that. And how many times have we shown him to completely dismiss what's going on around him?
Right. I mean,
about himself.
The band was just like an accessory to him. Like he was the center of his life.
Right.
And to recognize that the band's gone off, they've done something, they've done well.
And they don't need him.
Neil's now a real person. Kim, you know, I screwed that up with you. I'm sorry. You know, you should move on. I'm moving on. Like all that stuff is growth and it's progression. It's good.
And that look on her face was, you know, accepting the apology, and she's all good with him now.
Yeah. It was great because the points, they like ticked up. It was like,
right,
you know, 200, 300, 350. Like you saw that tick, like her feeling towards Scott was brightening in that moment.
Completely changed. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. Dave, you got anything on this minute?
So we've talked about this in some of the past episodes, and I got probably the clearest picture of the T-shirt that Scott is wearing in this one. And I don't know if it actually means anything. And I'm gonna share this, and I'll see if I can get this on the screenshot too. Where are we here? If you look a little closely at it, it has an SP on there. And I don't know if that necessarily means anything or if it's supposed to be, you know, Scott Pilgrim and kind of wearing his heart on his sleeve, so to speak, although it's actually on his chest. Maybe it means nothing, but it's in this picture that I've got on the screen here. It's very clear, and I'll get this on Facebook.
Yeah, it looks like a hand-drawn heart with a handwritten S and a P right in the middle of it. Very almost like Superman's shield too, in the way it's there, but that he like drew it himself.
I feel like that came from the book somewhere. Although in all of these scenes, Scott's wearing the Gideon T-shirt, the GGG logo T-shirt.
Okay.
What?
In the book. Well, he like spilled something on it or something. So Gideon gives him a shirt, and it was kind of a humiliating thing.
Oh, okay. So there's another scene then.
Gideon shirt, yeah.
So yeah, but it was a... Yeah, that's good stuff. Anything else from this minute?
I'd like it. I mean, it's such a blazingly fast series of events.
So on a kind of personal anecdotal, the whole young Neil, I use that all the time in my semi-professional life.
Right.
In the last place that I worked, we had two young men. There was a Wes and a young Wes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one was, I mean, they were probably 10 years apart or whatever, but when the older one moved on to another job and young Wes, we had our, you know, daily stand up, but I'm, you know, Wes is gone. You are now Wes.
Right.
You know, cause we called him young Wes. And to this day, we still call him young Wes. I still talk to him. Mm-hmm. So it's just one of those things that, you know.
Yeah. It's something the movie's been fairly good about. I mean, there's only like one, maybe two times throughout the movie where they just called him Neil and didn't call him young Neil, but even Knives called him young Neil when she texted to him. I mean, everybody called, that was his name. His name was young Neil. And now he's graduated from that to being, now you could just be Neil. So good stuff.
And you're part of something.
Yep. You're a darn good bass player. You know all the parts. So, All right. Anything else, Sam?
I don't have anything different. Like I said, I think it's a great fast scene. I like the recovering his life and moving through.
Yeah, I like the montage.
It's really tough to watch something you've seen before all over again. And the fact that he, Scott, intentionally zips through it. Like,
right.
He gets to the hipsters and he just like busts through that. And it's a kick. Like, he's building momentum through this whole scene so that when he gets this encounter with Gideon, he's like moving at full steam already.
Well, like in a video game too, once you've gone through a level, but then you fail at it, you got to start it over. You're like, okay, I know this part really isn't that hard, so I'm just going to blast through this.
Like, you just know it by heart and you're like, muscle memory through it.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good point.
Yep. All right, very good. Well, I'm sure if there's other stuff that we missed, the listeners could let us know, and we can have a discussion about it somewhere. Dave, how can they do that?
You can find us on the Twitter at Scott versus Minute, hashtag the comic book is better than the movie. You can find us at scottversusminute.com, on the Facebook, Scott versus Minute. You can send an email to scottversusminute@gmail.com.
Very good. You can also find Sam and I doing a podcast. He's going to tell you about it.
Brian and I review obscure streaming movies such as Metal Messiah, which brings a smile to Brian's face. Our show is called Streaming Nonsense. You can find us at streamingnonsense.com.
Metal Messiah is so good. Go see Metal Messiah. And
Brian says, wearing his Iron Maiden t-shirt.
I have an Iron Maiden shirt on today. So. All right. And you can also find Dave and I at podcastderby.com, where we review beer, movies, television, any other forms of pop culture that interest us. So that's going to do it for this minute. And we'll see you all in just a minute.